My dear brethren, you see in the front of the chapel, sisters in the habit of the ancient days of the church. I wish that you would pray for the sisters. Only mothers and fathers who are tortured by their children have any understanding of how much the older sisters have suffered in this age. And I wish, if you had an opportunity to see the pastor of this parish, that you would thank him for making this entire weekend, which began on Thursday night, possible. Many people have come and gone. The Father has been most generous in opening up his parish and all the facilities for all who came and went and disrupted by their presence, not consciously, but any plans that he might have had for his people in his parish for this weekend. And I wish you would thank the people whom you happen to know that had a hand in making this weekend possible. And finally, I do hope that you will pray. Be you a grandmother or a grandfather. Be you far along in years and single. Be you a child in a family. I wish you would pray for children very much, every day. I wish you would pray for mothers and fathers for two reasons. That they will hold up and that they will know what to do. And what does that mean? To hold up means to pray. How do you pray? I told the people yesterday five requirements for good prayer. You pray with humility. You know your unworthiness. You pray with perseverance. You never give up. You pray with resignation to the holy will of God. He may not give what you ask, but he'll give you something better, even when he says no. And you pray with patience. And that's what it means to hold up as a parent. You do everything within your power as a human being, but that's all that you are, just a creature. How can you affect a supernatural miracle? By prayer and by suffering. You are suffering, you do pray, but begin now to pray well. Concentrate on God and start. Tell him right away that you desire with all your being the gift of humility. And pray with fervor, for that is the fifth requirement for prayer. Prayer for grace, laws, and thee, blessed are thou among women. That's not praying. Our blessed Savior said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The distractions in no way at all harm your prayer. Forget about them. Stop kicking yourself every time you get to a certain decade of the rosary and say, gosh, I don't even remember saying the last two decades. It's all right. Just go on. Every minute that you spend rebuking yourself, grinding your teeth in chagrin, pinching your fingers in outrage at yourself, is that many heartbeats more of distraction. Possess your soul in peace. You're only a creature. You're not an angel. You're a human being. He is a perfect creature. But the angel envies you when you pray. Did you ever think of that? He looks with awe upon you. He is your guardian. And he listens to you as though you were superior to the celestial choirs of heaven when you pray. Why? First of all, he is an angel, and that's all. And when you pray, you are a child of God, talking to your heavenly Father. And you are not a subject speaking to his divine majesty like the angel. You're a child of God. And secondly, the angel prays with infinite perfection and infinite love. And we pray with imperfection and with just a smattering of love. But here's the difference. Angels pray and we pray. And there's an infinite superiority in his prayer over mine. And angels love infinitely and we love in our poor fashion. But that's all the angel can do is love and pray. But I can be just like Jesus Christ And remember, the angel knows where I came from. He saw the first creature fall from the slime of the earth. He knows I'm clay, very feeble. But I can pray just like Jesus Christ, with prayer, love, and suffering. And the angel can never suffer. So he cannot be like Jesus Christ when Christ prays in a sweat of blood, with a mask of death coming over his face on the cross. I can be a lot like Jesus Christ, and the angel can never be. And Christ, that night in the garden, was sorrowful even unto death. And oh, how heavy I can be in my spirits. I know all about depression. I could write a book on despondency and dejection and the disconsolate state. Some of us could even talk about desolation and dereliction. But that makes me powerful when I pray. There are some people who suffer so much they cannot keep their mind on the Hail Mary to finish it. That is how terrible their suffering. But they many, many, many times kiss the crucifix on the end of their rosary. And they only say over and over and over again, love. They can't finish the sentence, I love thee, O my God. They just kiss the wounds of the dying Jesus. And are they praying well? The more I suffer, the more perfectly I pray. Keep that in mind when you are in a bad way. God sent everything into your day except sin, yours and the sins of others. All else was arranged and planned, because God is hammering, grinding, cutting, filing, shaping, molding, wearing me down, building me up, creating a creature who will one day leave this world having been polished and scoured and buffed and grounded and shaped to such a creature of perfection that the all-holy God will say, come to me, you blessed. That's what God is getting me ready for himself to call me blessed, the all-holy God. And it takes work. It takes time. Not that it's an effort for God, but you see, I resist him. So, dear parents, remember, weep not for me, but for your children. Those are the words of Christ. You have reason for tears, but when you've had them, pull yourself together and take a look at life as it really is. Are there masons in the church? Are there apostate priests in the church? Are there communists in the church? Are there infiltrators from Judaism in the church? Is the church tottering? Is heresy being taught? Are children being destroyed? Is humanism and paganism the new religion that is being substituted for Roman Catholicism? Is it all true? So be it. In the meantime, the best thing that I can do for Holy Mother Church is to let God have his will. And I become a saint. That's what he has willed for me. And he has placed me in an age when I am one of the soldiers in that last thin battle line around Christ the King, when he fights his last triumphant battle. And with the eyes of faith we see and believe, but with human eyes you can't see it. You can't make the judgment. All you see is ruin and desolation. All you see is the effects of human culpability, the degeneracy of human beings, the malice of treacherous apostates. That's all we see. But if you have the eyes of faith and with a supernatural point of view and the perspective that is God's, you see the world for what it is. That land where saints are made through the imitation of Christ. And remember, Christ had days with his most blessed mother and dear Saint Joseph. and Christ did labor with his hands, and Christ did partake of the food that was prepared by his own most blessed mother, and Christ had a long period of life in that blessed sanctuary called the Holy Home of the Holy Family. But then he had his other days, didn't he? And so it is with all of us. There are the pleasant and there are the brutal days. But one is not the other, and the both make a lifetime. And the end of that lifetime, if the finished product of the living is truly a child of God, blessed in the sight of the Heavenly Father, then as I told you yesterday, what Cardinal Newman says is true. What a cheap price to pay for God to love him and have him and live with him forever. What a very cheap price to pay. My dear brethren, pray for supernatural hope, that it may be deepened in you, strengthened in you, and may buoy you up the worst day you have. Supernatural hope is the one virtue that has gone out of Catholic life. The other virtues we may talk about as being strengthened or more evident. We may talk about the other virtues as being perhaps harmed in this age. But there is one virtue that's gone. It's like devotion to St. Joseph. You hardly hear of it. It's like devotion to the Holy Ghost. You hardly hear of it. But oh, the supernatural virtue of hope. Mothers and fathers wring their hands and tell priests over and over and over again, I'm so upset at what's going to happen to my children's faith. And they bring their children to confession on every occasion. Because they know about their sins against charity. They know about all the children's sins. But those same mothers and those same fathers and those same children go to confession 80 times in a year, and never once will they say that they committed a sin against hope. And that's the devil's great dupe for this age. He dupes us one and all because there's so much reason to be discouraged. Once again, that's the human judgment. If human judgment took a look at Judas Iscariot, when they handed him the 30 pieces of silver and saw the penniless son of man who has nowhere to lay his head, who would be the better off that night? The man who had 30 pieces of silver, an enormous amount of money for a population that was living on pennies. We know that even as late as the 18th century, it was possible to live in England and live well on less than $200 a year. This was living a little bit beyond comfortably. Who had the better that evening? The man with all the money for just a little bit of double dealing? Or the poor victim that was being ripped under the scourge? Who was the better off that night? Human judgment tell you immediately, well, it's too bad that this man was a sneak, and it's too bad he betrayed his master, but 30 pieces of silver, that was a lot of money. And the other man, that poor fellow being scourged, that's what human eyes saw. They didn't see the divine Jesus Christ. They didn't understand about the sacred passion. They only had eyes. They didn't have the eyes of faith. You and I have the eyes of faith. We know what Judas was, and we know who it was that was being scourged. It was not a man. It was Jesus Christ, the second person, the most blessed Trinity, the incarnate Word of God made man, born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is how you have to look at your children, and this is how you have to look at the church, and this is how you have to look at the age, with the eyes of faith. More is involved than brain power or education. If brain power was sufficient, we would have very few traitors. If fine education was sufficient, we would have very few apostates. No, faith is required. Supernatural hope. And true charity. When Stalin lived, when Khrushchev lived, when the monsters of the earth lived, when they are still living, it is incumbent upon us to pray for them. They may be possessed by 50 trillion legions of demons. It doesn't make any difference. They were made to the image and likeness of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Christ died for them. And they may be the persecutors of the church. They may be out Neroing Nero in one day, in comparison to what Nero did to the church in his entire reign. It doesn't make any difference. We are expected to have that charity. The enemies of Christ we can detest. My personal enemies I cannot detest. I am supposed to forgive my enemy. Now those who do great wrongs to the church and the souls, I can fight them, I can resist them, I can expose them, I can do everything to thwart them. But in the end, I cannot forget to say prayers for their conversion. I always remind people that St. Paul was galloping away from Jerusalem, breathing fire. He had authorization from the high priest. He had troops. He was going to Damascus. He was going to arrest the small number of Roman Catholics there. They were going to be tortured. And then he was going to see to their execution when he had all the information. He was going to kill this infant church by crushing it right away before it got started. There was cruelty and meanness in a false zeal. And God struck him off the horse, and he is the great St. Paul, the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Only in heaven will we know the hundreds and hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of souls, tens and hundreds of millions, that have come to Jesus Christ because there was once such an enemy of Christ. By Christ's testimony, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Pray for the conversion of your enemies. And when you pray for your family, remember this, the story I told you yesterday. You think you have it bad? You sure have, but you ought to see somebody else. Don't be filled with too much compassion for yourself. Bear your cross with holy resignation to the holy will of God. Pray for fortitude, the supernatural gift of the Holy Ghost. Pray for understanding. Pray the prayer of the blind man, "Lord, that I might see." But pray. Pray with confidence. Resignation to the holy will of God. Pray with fervor. Pray with patience. Pray perseveringly. Don't give up. The boat was sinking, remember? These men had not made a mistake in judgment. They were all going to die. There was no hope. No man could live in that sea. "Lord, save us, we perish." Mothers and fathers, don't you feel like saying that when you think about what's happening to yourself, your children, maybe even happening to your marriage? Mothers and fathers, are you all upset about your kids? Did you ever think about how terrible it must be to be upset and your husband's not? Or to be upset and your wife's not? Or did you ever think about how terrible it must be for the one good boy in the family or the one good girl in the family whose mother and father are nothing but bums? And all the other kids are just like mom and dad. You know, when you think you have it bad, look around. There are 10 dozen others who have it a little harder. But it doesn't make any difference. I arise today through the strength of God to pilot me. God before me and God behind me, to the right of me, to the left of me, within me, without me, above me, beneath me. God in my day, every day. I'm never alone. There's a reason for it all. And remember the rebuke of Jesus Christ. The boat was sinking. When you think things are very bad, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.